Our next speaker is his brother, Comrade Muhammad Ahmed, who has been committed to the liberation struggle of Africans all his life and has been a major theoretician and organizer. Muhammad Ahmed.
Greetings, comrades and friends. I would also like to thank the CAS de las Americas and the Center for the Estudios Sobre Americas, for the study of Americas, and the leadership of Revolutionary Cuba for providing the Las Americas and the Center for the Estudios Sobre Americas, for the study of Americas, and the leadership of Revolutionary Cuba for providing us with this international opportunity to discuss Malcolm in the 1990s. I think it would be probably appropriate, having been a close associate of Brother Malcolm, that Malcolm would not just like for us to keep him in his physical historical context, but to present him in his present historical context of where he would like to go, or where the translation of Malcolm's legacy, what does it mean to us today? And I think it's significant that we have the panelists and participation at the conference that we do have, because we can assess not only where Malcolm was, not only what we attempted to do in taking up the legacy, but also to deal with criticism and self-criticism of how well we took up that legacy, or how, what were our shortcomings of that legacy, and what we must do in this period forthcoming. In that respect, I have prepared a paper that talks about towards building a national democratic movement of a new type inside of the United States to take up the legacy of Malcolm. I will not deal with the entire paper. I will only deal with highlights, and hopefully, if you think the paper makes any sense, we can circulate it or discuss it at some later date. With the assassination of El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X, the revolutionary nationalists and progressive sectors of the Black Liberation Movement lost its central mass spokesman and prime mover. The potential second-line leadership of the Organization of Afro-American Unity, the OAAU, was either assassinated — there were many brothers who were killed after Malcolm's assassination — intimidated, went in exile or underground, or were neutralized in some way or another after Malcolm's assassination. The Revolutionary Action Movement, RAM, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, and the Black Panther Party, the BPP, all tried to extend the legacy of Malcolm X, and all suffered the brunt of repression unleashed by the U.S. state against them. The lessons of the 60s must be passed on if we are to advance and or regroup in the 90s based off of the ashes of the 60s. The essence of building a national democratic movement of a new type is maximizing unity of our community around an advanced program. Such a movement means combining the struggle for our national, civil, or human rights with the struggle for class or economic rights, with a struggle to broaden and deepen, or that is, to transform social control over existing political and economic institutions in America. This requires implementing a transitional, not a maximum revolutionary program, but a transitional, or what we call an advanced democratic program, one that will advance the motion to advancing democracy or increasing democracy in American society, that intertwines African Americans' national, class, and social tasks. An example of this can be combining any program, the question of proportional representation, along with the demands for African Americans to receive reparations, parity, including the nationalization of industry, a workers' bill of rights, a workers' economic democracy, the unconditional amnesty of African American and all prisoners of war and political prisoners, quality education, as well as the need to build a resistance movement against the drug trafficking. I'm going to skip a little to on page 2 for those who are attempting to translate in dealing with the question of genocide and self-determination for the African American people. This is a historical question that has remained one prevalent through every period of American history, one that has not been resolved since the settling of the Civil War, and African Americans still have the right to self-determination, and we have the right to reparations. In 1978, through congressional hearings, it was revealed that the intelligence agencies of the United States federal government, particularly the FBI, had violated the U.S. Constitution and had waged war against the Black Liberation Movement. Much has been said and written about the FBI's codename COINTELPRO counterintelligence program, but the U.S. government still fails to release freedom fighters incarcerated under the program or give restitution to living victims or to the families of deceased victims of that program. But the U.S. government's own omission in black and white and in Congress of waging war against the African American nation, it is guilty of the crime of genocide and should be indicted by the United Nations for the violation of the UN Charter of Human Rights. So it's not a theoretical question. It is a practical, historical question. So I'm going to just try to summarize our situation. The achievement of for those who are following me, I'm on page 6. I've skipped to page 6. The achievement of non-discrimination, equal opportunity, in order to develop an equalitarian society, must begin to address past inequities and present imbalance, to do proper social planning for the future. And these are some issues that we need to address in this immediate period and begin to think about. A people's democracy movement in America should address the question of arrested social development the slowing down of privileged development for the Anglo-Euro-American populace who will constitute a privileged minority in 20 years. This arrested development for the Anglo-American, European-American community should correspond with scientific accelerated development of the African-American and other minority communities. Reparations repayment for war crimes against the African-American people in the form of land, capital, and resources is not enough because the system constantly perpetrates perpetual underdevelopment. There should be a conscious governmental policy, and we must struggle or fight for this, to retard the development of social, political, economic, cultural, and educational capital of the most privileged sectors of the Anglo-European-American community. These social privileges should be transferred to the presently oppressed minority nationalities in the form of guaranteed social capital in the form of free, that is, government-subsidized university education, employment of choice, medical care of all forms, national economic cooperatives, social welfare, national cultural historical forms, and the elimination of privileged capital interests in the political arena to allow for the emergence of a people's democracy. In the field of affirmative action, the category for women's employment should not be allowed to count as a double minority by employers, because this is a trick that is used to cut down on the employment of minorities. There should be preferential promotional training on jobs for African Americans, proportional affirmative action jobs for African Americans required for all businesses, elimination of racism at the workplace, racism in terms of hiring, promotions, unequal pay, harassment, and unfair treatment, firing, and sexual abuse of African-American women on the job. These are some of the demands within the trade union movement that we must raise. And I'm going to skip to page 7. These demands we can talk about in a question and answer period or at some other date. The development of a national democratic culture. The essence for the full development of an African-American national democratic culture lies in the accessibility of a progressive history of the African-American liberation movement. Some of this came out in the question and answer period, that for the world, for us to relate to the world, we must have an assessment of people's struggles. So this is the only way we can correctly relate to people's struggles. This is what the ANC has been very successful at doing, of projecting the history of the South African movement. And this is how the progressive people of the world can relate to South Africa. In the same sense, this has to be done inside the African American liberation movement. And many young people inside of America can't relate to the African American liberation movement is because they have no real scientific analysis of what has happened before. So they reach 40 years old before they find out what happened 40 years before. So we see this as an important aspect. African American history and images and personalities reflective from African American history is not allowed nor projected in the American population. When the African American population receives it, it is usually sporadic and is usually distorted. So you get a whole generation coming up with a distorted picture of what even happened. Unless they hear people who have been involved, they will not know what was done and will not only repeat the same mistakes that was done in the past, but they will actually reinvent the wheel in the sense that they will make new mistakes. And in picking up the paper a couple of weeks ago, I looked at in Milwaukee, there's some guys making worse mistakes than the Oakland branch of the Black Panther Party made in 1966. And here it is, 1990, they're openly advocating urban guerrilla warfare in military uniforms. Right. In 1990, it's not repeating the same mistakes, it's creating new mistakes, right? So this is, as activists in the movement and as activists in the world, our responsibility to educate as many people as possible of what is correct. Why do we have a session like this? Is for assessment. We need the assessment of the international community of political tendencies that emerge inside of the African American liberation movement. Because many of you in the international community have more history of success at translating theory into action than we do. So I want to skip a little to page 9. And Brother Kwame had talked about this, is the relationship between an independent African-American national organization. While mixed multinational organizations such as trade unions, political parties, etc., are needed, and they are needed for the working class. Independent African-American organizations are also important. The greatest advance of the African-American National Democratic Revolution, and also for advancing the multinational class struggle of the American proletariat. If we look at American history for the last 40 years, we will see that the African-American community, since the 1930s, has emerged full bloom as the movement that has led the greatest struggle of resistance to reaction in American society, and has been within the vanguard to advancing democracy in America. Prior to that time, we will see that much of social motion in American society has been centered around the African American liberation movement. So I don't think we have to provide such a historical thesis to that. Practice is the determining factor. Practice is the determining factor. And historical practice has had African Americans on the cutting edge of social change in mostly every historical period in American history. So the African American National Democratic Revolution is definitely a central factor to the multinational class character of advancing the interests of the proletariat in the United States. The other question is that internationalism is not non-national. To be an international, proletarian internationalist does not mean you negate yourself. You know, does not mean you negate national form. And this is, has often been projected to us in the United States, that we have to negate our own people and negate our own forms in order to be a true internationalist. And I think Malcolm X broke through that. And that's the importance that Malcolm has laid. To be a good proletarian internationalist, one must correctly master the national aspects of their struggle. And if one does not master the national aspects of their struggle, they will not be a good internationalist and will only have a party on paper rather than a mass party of the people. The national is not identical with nationalism. This is an honest mistake that we made, and in part of criticism and self-criticism that we made in the 60s. Neither narrow nationalism nor chauvinistic classicism reflects internationalism. You do not have to be a nationalist to correctly deal with the national aspect of your struggle. In fact, in this, you know, maybe a bone of contention, but to correctly deal with the national aspects of your struggle, you cannot really be a nationalist. Because the national question in the long run is a class question. So you must be an internationalist, a working class internationalist, understanding the class aspects to correctly identify the national aspects of your struggle. So hope I didn't go too far off there. So I want to skip a little. I just want to talk about that in forms of struggle, of approach of forms of struggle. We have to have a holistic approach to that question. The relationship between economics, politics, and culture are not one in contradiction, one that had emerged in the 60s in the past. And the other aspect is, what is the task in this immediate period? The ideological struggle, what we must raise up. The ideological struggle, page 14, which is often reduced to just the cultural question in the African-American National Democratic Revolution, but in actuality encompasses the question of culture, is also a vitally important form of the African-American proletariat's class struggle. Why do I raise this? Because it takes the revolutionary people of Cuba to call African Americans together to talk about and engage in ideological struggle. You know, most of us could not get together in the United States. The ideological question includes the making up of a people's revolutionary culture, to the people's revolutionary morality, spirituality, something that Malcolm dealt with, the morality, the spirituality of struggle, and a code of conduct. Three, a people's revolutionary psychology, and mode of thought. For a people's revolutionary educational process, ideology and the transmission of skills. We have not been good in the transmission of skills and in the transmission of ideas. And you can look at the age composition of most of the African American delegation, and that proves testimony to that. So I'm going to skip and try to sum up that the role on page 15, the role of all African-American national formations is to identify self-interest, national policy, and strategy of the African-Americans' particular interests, and to develop a bridge or link those up with the class interests of the entire proletariat. And in doing that, we will develop what we call a triad, or three forms. There are three major forms of struggle, which I'm on page 17. And that is the political struggle, the struggle for black political candidates, the struggle for human rights, the struggle for class rights, the economic struggle, and the basic ideological underpinnings of that, which I hope that this conference is a forerunner for a process that needs to be taken into the African American community of ideologically what was Malcolm about, and ideologically what must we master, what will be the basic ideological underpinnings for a successful struggle to complete the legacy of Malcolm. Thank you.